Good morning. Our pastor is gone, so if you are visiting, you will have to come back again so you can see how this is supposed to be done. 2 months ago, Pastor Merrick, he told me, he said, I'm going to Kentucky to work at my father's farm, and I want you to cover me on a Sunday. And I said, okay, that's great. When are you doing that? And he said, the 21st. And I realized that the 21st was Father's Day, and I thought to myself, man, I have never had this much time to prepare a message ever. And so I began preparing a Father's Day message, and I was struggling with it, and I didn't really know why until two Thursdays ago he said, no, I'm going to be gone the 14th. And I waited, and the Lord refrained from giving me my text immediately, and every day on the calendar that slipped by, I began to panic and panic and panic. And then he gave me the text that I needed to be in and the reason why I needed to be in. And I always am so grateful to be a part of the Lord's work in regards to preaching, because I get firsthand view of just how God works, and he works on my faith. I knew he was going to give me a text. I just didn't know when. Today we're going to be in John chapter 21. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. Where the Bible says, After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but his disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging their nets. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not there the net broken. And Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. This is where we're going to be spending most of our time this morning, verse number 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. It's always interesting how the specials seem to work out with the messages. And today's message's title is Our Love Should Be Enough. Brother Jed, will you open us in prayer? Now, I love the Apostle Peter. He's kind of a man after my own heart. He's known for a lot of things. He's known for being the only man recorded besides Jesus Christ as ever walking on water. He's known for being a natural leader because he was the leader of the disciples. Unfortunately for Peter, he is really, you can't get away from the fact that he is recorded as being the one who most prominently rejected the Lord Jesus Christ in what would probably be the Lord Jesus Christ's biggest need in time. As the account goes, this is the only recorded conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ and Peter since that rejection. And, you know, we're all kind of shocked when we read it, the absolute blunt rejection of the Lord the way he does it. And yet, we live our lives in a way that we do the same. And this is the account. I always like to use the word account because if I use the word story, it implies a falsehood. When everything in the Bible is an historical account, this is the account of where Peter is restored and his service for Christ renewed. And in our daily lives, we find ourselves all needing this. You know, I don't serve the Lord like I should every day. And I don't love the Lord like I should every day. And every now and again, the Lord has a way of asking me if I lovest him more than these. That being said, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. If we were to notice the wording in John chapter 20, verse 19, where it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." And then if you noticed 21:1, it says the same thing. Peter was with the disciples when Jesus Christ showed himself. But when he showed himself the first time, he didn't talk to him. You know, the Bible's very clear about confessing our sins and being restored, because God is just and faithful to forgive us of our sins. But you'll notice in the life of a Christian, he tends to rake you over the coals before restoration is given. And this particular passage, I think Jesus Christ does that in great detail. When we keep reading, I want you to notice where it says, "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. They had fished all night, and they caught nothing." Not a thing. I've had some late night catfishing excursions, and it kind of stinks when you get ate up by the mosquitoes all night and don't get one hog on the line. And this was a little bit more than that, because the fishing of this day was not done with rod and reel. It was done with nets. And when I researched how they fished, it was kind of actually a bit of a scare, because they would take their nets and they would cast them out and they would drop about 10, 15 feet into the water. And some lucky fellow was holding the end of the net, and his job was to dive in, swoop under the net, and come back up so the net would catch the fish as he drew it up. He would hand the rope to the guys on the boat, and they would draw up the net, which is why it is recorded that Peter is naked. He wasn't naked. He was in a loincloth, but he was swimming underneath a net in the pitch blackness of night. And I thought, man, I am just not that good of a swimmer for that stuff. But this is how they did it. That's how they swam. And you'll notice even when it says that when John, the disciple who loved Jesus, pointed out that it was Jesus on the shore, that Peter then decides it's important to cover himself. And this is kind of a freebie, has nothing much to do with the message, but the need for modesty became immediately apparent to Peter when he realized that the Lord was watching him. All of a sudden, his nakedness made him feel shame, and he had to gird himself with his fisherman's coat, which was just a long shirt that fishermen wore. And I'll also have you notice that the disciples didn't catch one fish until the Lord Jesus Christ told them where. Now, that has application to all of us in regards to employment, because these men, they weren't casual fishermen like most in this room. I don't think anyone here is a commercial fisherman who feeds their family off of fishing. And if you are, Missouri is probably not the state to be in. These men, this was their profession. And as a profession, as someone who's employed, as someone who's trying to feed their family, it's always a guarantee that you will never be successful at it unless you're doing it where and when the Lord Jesus Christ is pointing out. So these men, they struggle all night. The Lord points right where to drop the net. They told them right where to work, and it was profitable to them. And after this point, they come to the shore. Peter, being the first to make it there, swam 200 cubits. That's actually quite the swim, a cubit being 2.5 feet. So he swam over 100 yards to get to shore. And when he gets there, there's fish and bread, and the Lord Jesus Christ is waiting for him. And everybody else sails up, and Jesus Christ tells them, just come and dine. I know you're weary. Just sit with me and eat for a spell. And they all sit and they all eat. And this is the point in the recorded account where the Lord Jesus Christ has a talk with Peter. Now, Peter, I know, was writhing in anguish the entire time until this conversation takes place, because Peter and Christ have not talked one-on-one since the cock had crowed. And that's a big deal. He is the leader of the disciples, and yet he's floundering in his faith because his last conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ was Jesus Christ looking him square in the eye and telling him, before the cock crow tonight, you will reject me thrice. Those were the last recorded words between Christ and Peter before this passage. Now, he addressed the disciples at a group setting, but now it's time for Christ to deal with Peter one-on-one. Have you ever been in that spot where the Lord Jesus Christ is now dealing you, not corporately, but one-on-one, over something you did or something you haven't done, something you should be doing, something you are just not there for him? And it's interesting the way he approaches him in verse number 15. All eyes there, please. Verse number 15 says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Lovest thou me more than these?" I read this passage and I'm immediately driven to know one question. What are these that he is talking about? The Lord calls him on. What are these? What are these? And I have a few thoughts as I read. What could it be? I have four thoughts that come right to my brain. One of the things is he's in a group. Was the Lord Jesus Christ asking him if he loved him more than the other disciples? There's a group. It's kind of an odd thought. You know, Christ's love is supposed to breed unity amongst the brethren, and it really didn't seem too likely that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to ask him, "Do you love me more than Daniel French does? Do you love me more than Steve Scott does? Do you love me more than someone else?" It'd be hard-pressed to think someone... You know, I wouldn't want to stand in front of the disciple John and have Jesus Christ ask me if I love him more than John. Because John is recorded many times being the disciple that loved Jesus. I don't want to be in a competition with that. You know, the Bible is really actually full of thoughts and statements regarding comparison. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, it says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." And the reason is very clear as to why. You know, if you compare yourself with others, you're always going to find someone that you can measure up past in any aspect. For instance, you want to measure yourself up to me, you're going to feel pretty tall because that's just the way the Lord made me. And when that happens, you will be filled with pride, and the Lord will have to smite you wicked tall people down. Because comparison always breeds pride. There's always somebody that you're going to be faster than, quicker than, better than, smarter than. You know what I'm saying? And this could have been possible in a disciple setting. There was such a vast circumstance of people there. There was tax collectors, and there was fishermen, and there was doctors, and everybody is different. Could you serve me better, Peter, than these men? Could you focus more in this aspect better than these men? And the answer to that would have been yes in some regards, and no in others. Because when you compare yourself to other Christians, there's always going to be someone serving less that's going to make you feel like you're some spiritual giant because you're doing more than them. Or you're better than them. My devotions are huge compared to this guy. I'm not pointing at anyone. But you know, a relationship with Christ is never about what you're doing. It's about what I'm doing. Because I relate to Christ. And this particular interaction with Jesus Christ is all about reestablishing the relationship that Peter has with Christ. So I can automatically rule out this thought that Jesus Christ was not asking Peter if he lovest him more than the disciples. He wasn't doing that. So what else could it be? They had just dined. They just ate. Jesus Christ had made fish and bread, And the disciples came to shore, and they ate. Was Jesus Christ asking Peter, "Do you lovest thou me more than your sustenance?" Now, we live in America where obesity is an absolute vicious problem. And we're all Baptists. We love to eat. And I definitely love to eat. There's many things I love to eat. One of my favorite foods that I have a great passion for is Mexican food. Where I come from in Idaho, there was more Hispanics than there were white people. So the restaurants didn't care to cater to white people's tongues. So the food that I got to eat was really authentic Hispanic grandma's recipe stuff. And I'm not going to tell you what it is, but one of my favorite dishes is a lengua torta. You can ask me after the service what it is, and I'll tell you, but I'm not going to preach on it because you'll think I'm weird. But they are delicious, and they make me homesick just thinking about it. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, He prepared a meal, and He told the disciples, "Come and dine." And in my mind, I think that the Lord Jesus Christ, being perfect in every way, served up some of the best fish and bread that you could possibly imagine. I don't know if He cooked it. I don't know if He willed it into place. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He can do whatever He wants with the fish and the bread. And He doesn't have this conversation until after they're done eating. It would have been their coffee time at a little Baptist fellowship. "Do you lovest thou me, Peter, more than these?" And He could point to the leftover fish and bread. "Do you lovest thou me more than the sustenance that I have provided?" And I kind of lean it against this one because most of these guys, they just went out fishing. I know they were hungry. I know they were tired. And I know this food was delicious. But the disciples weren't exactly a live-to-eat kind of guys. They were men of humble means. They ate to survive. They didn't eat the most luxurious of foods. When Jesus Christ sent the disciples out, He told them not to worry about food or fare or clothing or scrip. He told them that I would provide for you your needs, not your wants, your needs. And that proves the fact that we just get what we need. I want lobster and steak every night, but that's not my need. I would love to have a lengua torta at least once a month. But I haven't found a really authentic Mexican restaurant in this part that will serve one. I don't think Jesus Christ was asking him that. Just because of the nature of the disciples. Humble fishermen. How about this? They were just on a boat. He could have asked them, "Simon Peter," I'm assuming it was Peter's boat they went out fishing on, "do you lovest thou me more than your stuff?" You know, we do live in America. Not only do we have a high obesity rate, but we have a materialistic attitude that says, "I need to acquire more stuff, more things." And we will go through great lengths to acquire the things and the stuff that our hearts desire. And Jesus Christ could have been asking him, "You know, there's going to be things in your life that are going to get in between me and you. Do you lovest thou me more than these? Your big trucks, your fast cars, your iPads, your smartphones, your TVs, your tools, your guns, whatever you ladies like to get. I don't know. Do you lovest thou me more than these?" You know, when you have a desire in your heart, you will acquire whatever it is you desire. And that's no doubt. You will put forth extra time, you will save, you will pinch pennies, you will work side jobs, you'll do whatever it takes to acquire what you desire. And Jesus Christ may have been asking him, "Am I what you desire and wish to acquire? Do you lovest thou me more than this?" And he points to the boat. I mean, it's just a boat. It's made out of wood. It's got a sail. Sure, it's cool, but I'm the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter. Do you lovest thou me more than this? Ponder that thought for 1 second. Material needs are provided, just like sustenance. If I needed to have a sports car, God would provide it. But I'm a family man, and a sports car is like really just not the thing I need. If I needed a giant truck that got 8 miles to the gallon with a big boat behind it, the Lord would provide for that. And I have an issue coveting such when I see him driving down the road, but he has not given it to me. And he has not given me peace with getting another job or something that's going to take me out of the service of my church to acquire such. And many, many Christians will fall into that trap. Our country is riddled with credit debt to the point where we can't serve because of that. And this is why. Because people put their love of stuff ahead of their love of Jesus Christ. Do you lovest thou me more than these? They just went fishing. Did they go fishing for sport? Or did they go fishing for a profession? You could imagine after all that the disciples had went through over the last few days, it had been a very stressful and traumatic time for them. It was. After the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus Christ gets taken and then executed, crucified, could you imagine walking with Christ for 3 years and then experiencing that from the viewpoint of the disciples? For those first few days until Jesus had appeared, reinstating the fact that he was going to rise from the dead and defeat death, these men had just been floundering, not even having a clue what was going on, what they were going to do. And sometimes, from a guy's perspective, one of the best things for us to do when we need to think straight is just to go fishing. Now, this doesn't work when you take a 3, a 5, and an 8-year-old, but if you can manage to scoot away and get some quiet time in the wilderness, it allows you to think. And I'm not 100% sure if that's what these men were doing or if they were trying to reestablish their profession as a fisherman, but either which way, they were out doing what I think they enjoy doing. This could have been a hobby for them. You know, we all have hobbies. We should all have hobbies. It's a good thing to have a hobby. Men need to do things with their hands. That's just the way God made us. Women need to do things also, because otherwise they'll go nuts and kill all the kids. But hobbies are a great thing. But when do hobbies become a problem? Well, they become a problem when they be put in place in front of Jesus Christ. You know, it's just absolutely no wonder why soccer practice is always on a Wednesday night. That's the way it works. There's always a sports practice on a Wednesday night when church is service. The tournaments are always on the weekends. On what day? Guess what? Sunday. Hobbies. Hobbies, hobbies. I talked to men at work. They say, well, I find God in a tree stand. Really? I thought all you found in there was ticks. In abundance. Our hobbies. We spend a fortune, invest our time in hobbies. And Jesus Christ could have been asking him, you went fishing, I know you had a good time hauling in that 153 fish. That would be awesome. Do you lovest thou me more than these? He could have pointed at the net full of fish still flopping. If it had been Missouri, you'd have had been chasing the turtles away, because they would have been trying to eat them. Do you lovest thou me more than these? If they had went as a profession, it would have changed everything. The Lord could have said, do you lovest thou me more than your job? This is your old job. Consider this. This is actually a scary thought. If the Lord Jesus Christ had been crucified and died, and these men had not spoke to him, even though he had spoke to him before this, and they went fishing to reenact their old profession. Peter was a fisherman. The sons of Zebedee, James and John, were fishermen, professional fishermen. This is how they made their living. If they had been trying to resort back to their old profession, this would have been an actual serious affront after already talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going back. You are neglecting my call on your life. lovest thou me more than your job, your place of employment? You do know that God provides everybody with the ability to provide for our family. I've seen it work. And sometimes you don't understand how, you don't understand why, but after the fact you always get to look back and say, there's no doubt God gave me this job at this time for this reason, and I love Him for it. But we also live in a world where jobs give people titles and they establish their value in life based upon what they do for a living. And you'll notice anyone who has that mentality is always the most miserable of person, because at that point they are missing the boat on why they're supposed to be working in and of itself, and they are missing the boat on what is supposed to bring them joy in this life. Now, Jesus Christ, I imagine, gave Peter this one last catch of fish, and it was a good haul. Even 153 little guys would have been a decent haul, but it says these are great fish. And in my mind, I think fish about yay big, just some big old hogs. And I think he did it to test Peter, give him just one last taste of absolute success. 153 fish, if even divided amongst the men that were there, that would have paid significantly come morning when they sold the fish. It would have showed profit. It would have showed them that they could reestablish themselves as fishermen and do this for a living. They just caught 153 fish. They barely got the net in. But Jesus Christ says, "Do you lovest thou me more than these? Your profession, your old job. And if you do, feed my sheep." Now, I really think that this last one is these that he's talking about. And I can prove that with a little grammar. Words I've heard from somebody repeatedly are important. And if you're going to look up the absolute definition of these, the word "these" defined is a plural pronoun. When two or more persons or things are named, these refer to the things or person which are last mentioned. And we follow the definition of that, and we back up. And the last plural pronoun that was used is in verse 10, when Jesus saith unto them, "Bring of the fish." Now, of course, we would have said "fish is," but the fish is plural. So he's talking about these fish, specifically talking about these fish. Simon, son of Jonas, do you lovest thou me more than these? I'd like to ask you one question. Just put your thinking cap on. Why does the Lord Jesus Christ call him Simon, son of Jonas, instead of Peter, Cephas, a stone? Think about this for one thought. Who gave him the name Cephas? Peter. Jesus did. Instead, he calls him by his old name, Simon, son of Jonas. And this is the raking over the coals. He's telling him, "Simon, my disciple, I hope, do you lovest thou me more than these fish, more than your old job, more than the ability I have blessed you with? Do you love me more than these?" Peter didn't like this. This didn't make Peter feel good for the Lord Jesus Christ to square him up and say, "I gave you a nice haul, 153 fish, Simon. Do you lovest thou me more than these, Simon?" It wasn't the term of endearment that he gave him when he named him Peter. Because the name Peter is also Cephas, which is the name Jesus Christ gave him. He's trying to get his attention. "Simon, do you love me more than these?" Which is it going to be? You're going to have to make a choice. "Simon, wake up. old man, because I made you a new man. Who are you going to love more than me? Is it going to be your old job? Are you going to tend to things that don't matter? Or are you going to feed my sheep? I don't think the Lord had to slap him at that point to get his attention. He said, Simon, which was like, ooh. Last week I was Peter, and now I'm Simon. Last week I was Cephas, and now I'm Simon, son of Jonas. And he knew why. He rejected him. He rejected him. But the Lord wasn't done with him. And he's not done with us when we do the same thing. And that is such a blessing to us. Doesn't mean he's not going to rake us over the coals. Doesn't mean he's not going to point us out and say, Simon, do you love me more than these? We have that coming. And so did he. Of that there is no doubt. Do you lovest thou me more than these? When we keep reading, verse number 16, he says it again. Except for he doesn't call him into question over the these. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. And 17, this one stings him. And all he had to do was say the same thing again. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. You know, we have different degrees of love for different things. I know you visitors don't know this, but I have 4 kids. I have 2 sons. I have 2 daughters. And I love them differently. My rascally boys, I see me in them, and I love them for it. They squish bugs, they catch snakes, they love frogs. They're everything a Nelson boy should be. And my daughters are the girliest girls around. They are frilly, they are pretty, and I would kill anyone for them. And I love them very, very differently. I love certain things differently. I love food, different kinds of food differently. I love seafood, I love shellfish, I love Mexican food. You know, but we love things differently. I love my mom different than I love my dad. And I love them for different reasons. And the Lord Jesus Christ actually uses 2 different words for love here. 2 different words. The first time when he says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He used the word, the Greek word, agapeo, which is the moral sense of love. You're morally obligated. He asked Peter, are you morally obligated to love me? And the answer to that is yes. And we all are in the same boat. We are all morally obligated to love the Lord Jesus Christ for what he's done. He saved my soul. He redeemed me. He died upon the cross. He sacrificed himself for me. And it is my duty to love him. But that's not the love that Jesus Christ desires. When we keep reading, he uses the same agapeo love in 16, but in 17 he uses a different word. In 17, when he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He used the Greek word philio. Now philio is defined as to be a friend, embracing especially the judgment and deliberate assent of the will as a matter of principle and duty. Embracing, especially the judgment and deliberate assent. In verse number 17, he's asking Peter, do you want a relationship with me? He's already said, you should have a moral obligation to love me, Simon. But do you want to have a relationship with me? Which, guess what? If you're going to have a relationship with him, then you're going to have to desire his will. Well, Simon, son of Jonas, his will, Christ's will in his life was that he would feed his sheep, that he would serve him, that he would proclaim the gospel, that he would find others, preach the word of God, see them saved so the kingdom of God could grow. Amen. Do you love me enough for that? He wanted him to be his friend. You know, when you have a friend, you desire to make them happy. And you will do things to make them happy. It is always incredibly important that a husband be friends with his wife. Because we live in a country where most time it's more common that people get married and they have kids, and their entire life as a spouse is all about raising the kids, and then the kids leave. And 20 years down the road, you find yourself staring across the table at a complete stranger. My wife is my friend. And because she's my friend, I will do things that I normally wouldn't do so that I can make her happy. This is the relationship that Jesus Christ wants with Peter in this passage and with all of us individually. Because you know what? Serving God doesn't actually come so natural to people. Have you ever noticed that? And you have to do things that you wouldn't normally do to make Him happy. And He asks him, do you lovest thou me? Enough to do this. Enough to suffer for my cause. Enough to be isolated at work for my cause. Enough to just do the things that you know my word says I desire. What does the Bible say? If thou lovest me, thou art my disciple. Well, how do you show that? Feed my sheep. Do you lovest thou me? Do you want a relationship with me? Do you desire my will over your own? Here comes the planes. Better wrap it up. We read this passage and we don't quite realize the anguish that this conversation is causing Peter. It says in verse 17 that this conversation grieved him because the Lord was raking him over the coals over this rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Simon, son of Jonas, don't go back to the boat. Don't go back to the fishing. You can make a living that way, but that's not my will in your life. I want you to feed my sheep. But I want you to want to.
Right. Amen.
Does that make sense? Yeah. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's omnipotent. He could make you do whatever He wanted. He could make you serve Him. He could turn you all into perfect Christian robots who do the right thing all the time. But that's not how it works. Right. Instead, He saved your soul. He paid a horrible price. And all He asks in return is that you would be His friend. That you would respect His will in your life. That you would lean upon Him. That you would work where He wants you to. That you would love Him. To deliberately assent our will to Him. Is that such a hard thing? Yes. But guess what? He loves us. How much do we love Him? You know, that you hear the love of Christ preached three different ways from Sunday all the time. What about our love for Him? 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, the love of Christ constraineth us. What about our love for Him? Does it not define and dictate how we live our lives? He said, Simon, son of Jonas, feed my sheep. And it grieved Him. Does it not grieve us when He rakes me over the coals because of a missed opportunity to witness or something of the like? Brother Nelson, do you lovest thou me more than these? Do you lovest thou me more than the stuff? Do you lovest thou me more than food, more than work, more than hobby? Do you lovest thou me enough to be my friend when I needed you the most? Is that not what He was saying to Simon Peter? When I needed you the most, feed my sheep. It was all about relationship. In order for Peter to be the Apostle Peter, the first thing that had to happen for him was his relationship had to be restored in a way that he could effectively serve God for the right reasons. I can serve Christ out of duty, because I should, and I will. But it's never effective as when I serve God because He is my friend, and I love Him, and I desire His will in my life, because there is profit in the former over the later. Profit. Just like catching 153 fish right where He told them to cast it. There's profit. There's joy. It doesn't seem so burdensome when I serve for the right reason. Simon, son of Jonas, do you lovest thou me more than these? You know, you might be asking yourself, I do. I do love him there. How are you showing it? You know, when you have a spouse, you have to show them that you love them or they get angry. And they have a way of telling you and showing you that you haven't been telling them and showing them that they love you. What about Jesus Christ? He has a way of telling me and showing me that I have not been His friend like I should be. And that's exactly what He was doing to Peter. Every time He said, Simon, son of Jonas, it might as well have been a whip across his back. Do you lovest thou me more than these? How have you been showing Him that? Do you desire His will? Do you seek it out? Do you do anything to draw closer to Him? Well, if not, then you're in the same boat. Do you lovest thou me more than these? You should want to. You can do it out of duty, but you should just want to, because He's done so much for you. I want to. But there's some here, I'm sure, with a crowd this size that don't even know what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's because they've never come to a point where they've accepted what He's done. You know, you can't reject Him as a saved person until you are a saved person. And there is no greater joy, which gives me an opportunity right now to feed His sheep. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, what are you waiting for? You've come to church. You've been led for a reason. It's because the Lord Jesus Christ is there, and He has paid the price. And you're here right now so that I could serve Him by saying, get saved today. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for next Sunday. Get saved today. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you. And you have not even given the opportunity yet to love Him back. Because you can't love the Lord Jesus Christ until you've accepted Him and what He's done for you. We're about to give an invitation here in just a moment. Just come forward. Say, Brother Nelson, I would like to know what the Bible says. And we'll take you back privately. And we'll show you what the Scriptures say. Not my words, because I'm just a man. What the Bible says about accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. We all count it an honor and a privilege. But you might have been living in a way that wouldn't be pleasing to God. You are saved, and you reject Him every day with how you live. This was a moment of renewal for Peter, of redemption. And we all need that. We all need to remember every now and again why we serve Him. And we serve Him because He is our friend. And if you haven't been doing that, then just come forward. Give it to Him on the altar. And just ask the Lord to put a new fire back in you to serve Him like you should. Feed my sheep because you want to. Not because you're morally obligated, because you want to. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Please stand.